Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well. Welcome to the second day of the work week for me, which is the third day of the work week, except there was a holiday on Monday. Still confused. Welcome. Yes. Thank you for being here. Yes. Blessing today. No Ned press conference as far as I know. We are free to rock and roll for 3 hours. Hallelujah. I have a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about. First off, the president makes a commotion for walking around without a mask. Joe Biden responds by walking around with a mask, a black mask. He looks like the Lone Ranger or Tonto. Who had the white and who had the black? You know, he's just got this look like criminal behavior is taking place. There's a need to be unknown. The question is, how do you feel when I see Joe Biden? I'm just talking about the gut response. When I see Joe Biden with the mask on, I think this is not very leaderly. It's not projecting power and masculinity. When I see Donald Trump without the mask, that feels more right. Now, I know you can think about it and you can come to a different conclusion. But in terms of how you feel, I'm wondering if you feel the same way and if you have some kind of conflict inside of you because of this. If it makes you feel funny because on the one hand, you think it's not leaderly to wear a mask, but your brain tells you that's the right thing to do, that there's a contradiction going on. That's what I'm thinking about. So I don't know what you can do about that. I don't know what to tell you about that. I don't know how it works, except I have that gut reaction. I think Joe Biden looks kind of ridiculous with the mask on. I don't think that looks like a leader. I don't think it looks masculine. I don't think it looks leaderly. And Trump is mocked for this, and I guess you can make an argument. I mean, I have an argument with myself over it. But there's something weird about conforming in such a way when you are the most powerful political figure in the world. Question number one, 860-522-9842. Question number two, Minneapolis. Knee into the neck of a victim who appears to have been murdered by a police officer who had no interest at all, just didn't care. Just kneeled his knee into the neck of a guy who apparently was drunk, handcuffed, passive on the ground, eventually passed out. He still kept his knee there. The guy dies. Minneapolis mayor fires everybody, the four cops who were on the scene, which seems appropriate. I just wanted to get a gut reaction, another gut. I wanted to get a gut reaction from you on that. How do you feel when you see that? Are you disgusted that we live in a country in which cops routinely, it seems, are going a little too far? No, I'm not saying I know the whole story, because you can't watch a video and know the whole story. You can't even read the news story and know the whole story. But we can't see this thing happen over and over again and not think there's something wrong, can we? Because cops do have discretion. So you might be able to justify, okay, something happened that made that officer so provoked or So much adrenaline running through him. Okay, I can buy that. What are the other three officers doing, standing there watching him kill the guy? And I think it's time that the Democrats who do the policing in urban America have to face some political fallout for the fact that they are viewed by the community that votes for them 90%. And thus supports the police departments, 90%, and supports the unions who generally run the police departments, that all that infrastructure, the Democrats, should be held responsible. And they don't get held responsible. There is never any political fallout for the Democrats. There's an uproar. There's an outrage. There's a Black Lives Matter movement. But nobody says, forget about Black lives. These are American lives being killed by their own civil servants. Shouldn't work that way. 860-522-9842. Democrats are a force of insidiousness that is mind-boggling, the destructiveness that they are reaping on the nation right now. Now, I believe this sincerely, and I can make a powerful argument, so don't just write me off for it. I can make a powerful argument for it. One is the election rigging that they do, which is effectively dismantling the idea of electoral politics in this country. It is because, well, they rig elections by transferring tax dollars, your money that you earn and gets taken away from you at exorbitant amounts. There's just no reason to have all this money taken because it's just being used to rig elections. They don't care how they spend it as long as it guarantees them a lot of votes. And that's what they do. That's what tolls were about last year. They wanted to be able to keep the money flowing. That's part of why I think they're trying to extend this lockdown as long as they can. They need money from the federal government. They don't want to let their knee off the neck of the economy until it's ready to pay up. That has destroyed electoral politics. We don't have free elections anymore. That has robbed us of the principles of our society because they have brainwashed a new generation of voters who vote for them in return for gifts, that those gifts are moral and right, and that anybody who believes in the American system of government is some kind of Neanderthal man. The Democrats are an incredibly destructive force. When are people going to get angry and rise up? There is a thing going on right now with the early voting, not early voting, with the absentee ballots, that the Secretary of the State is going to mail them out to everybody. Applications, not the ballots themselves, applications. Even if you are not qualified to get a ballot, she's going to mail you an application for a ballot. That's how badly they want to rig the elections. How do they rig elections? Simply by making it easier for people to vote. Well, making it easier for people to vote is not necessary. They do it because it's necessary for them to get their favorite voters. That is ones who don't want to vote and are completely disconnected from the whole thing, have no knowledge to bring to the table. I want to start with those two topics, if we might. Janice in Plainville, hi.
Hi. I agree with you on the mask thing. I think it's really important for the leader of the free world to show his face. People need to see him. They need to read his expression. They need to know that it is him. And that's just a part of being a leader. You have to have be
well.
Brave,
that's an interesting.
Be out front, and that's the way I can't help it. It's how I feel about it. As far
okay,
as the
so,
black masks and the black.
Wait, hold on a sec before you get onto that part.
Okay.
Let me just respond because I think some people would say that the leader could wear a mask, and then when he's speaking, he could take it off so people could see his face. What would you? Because Ned did a press thing in New Haven,
okay.
And I saw him do that. He had a mask on and took it off. What do you think about that as a compromise?
Well, you know, that's what Nancy Pelosi does. She pulls her mask down and covers up her neck.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people do that too.
You can see she has a mask for every outfit.
Well, she should.
I know. But I don't know.
Okay, what about the black?
I think it was very sinister.
Doesn't it look
white and very, you know, sad. And I mean, everything is, it is a sad occasion, but I thought it was a little much.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It's good to get a response. I wonder if other people had just
I don't know. I've said that to other people. I'm sort of an old timer, and I kind of remember other regimes where, you know, leaders tried to hide, and then funny things went on, and people are starting to get the feeling that odd things are going on in our government. And I just think it's brave and strident for him to step up, stand up, and show his face and talk to the he talks to the reporters while he talks to the people. And I don't, there's just something about it that it's a thing of, I can't come up with the word.
Well, it's being a leader of fortitude and stature.
Courage.
It shows a little bigness. All right, Janice, thank you for that. 860-522-9842. Yeah, Janice is talking about there's a certain size of the leader. Now, I understand you can dispute this, and you say, well, that's ridiculous. If you're a big man, you can allow yourself to succumb to whatever you have to succumb to in order to do what's right. And if that means wearing a mask, what's the big deal? You wear a mask. But it does not project. I think Trump is right that it does not project a leaderly vibe at all. 860-522-9842. More coming up on WTIC. Yes, 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 WTIC. And you are here again in the afternoon with me, which I appreciate. Oh, the rant line. I was going to start off with the rant line. I totally forgot. The rant line is our new 24/7, my new 24/7 number. Just for this show, you can call and leave a message. 860-751-4698. Any kind of message you want. You can make it a personal message. Say, this isn't for air, and I won't play it on the air. You can give an idea for a topic. Some people have done that. Just, hey, Todd, I thought you should talk about this. How come you're not talking about this? And you can, but the primary reason is for non-callers in particular. That's not a rule, but that's the idea behind it. The idea is I know there are tons of people who don't call. The vast majority, like 99%+ of radio talk radio listeners will never, ever call. I forget the exact number, but it's a fraction of 1% who call. And there's a vast audience of differing opinions. I would particularly love liberals or people who want to argue with me but don't want to do it live on the air where I can answer back. If you want to dispute what I'm saying, that's great. Make your argument. I'll play it, and people will get to hear it. But the point is, it's there 24/7. A lot of people say they can't call when they're listening. Maybe they're at work. Maybe the kids are there, whatever. Fine. Any day, any time you want, dial the number. 860-751-4698. Leave a message. We'll try to get it on the air. The interesting thing is, I thought it was going to take time to ramp this up. I mentioned it Saturday. I really rolled it out yesterday in terms of announcing it. And it just took off. I can't believe how many messages are coming in, how many texts. It's wonderful. I'm so thankful because it's just nice. Any way we can communicate, I love to do it. And it gives us another way to get your voice onto the air, which is a really great thing. So I wanted to play some of these rants, which are fun, okay?
Please stop driving alone in your car with a mask on. You look ridiculous. It's just stupid. So stop it.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Oh, please leave your first name, just like if you're on the air. Say, this is Joan from wherever. Okay? But otherwise, that's a really good one. Doesn't have to be that short, but I love how short and pithy that was. Don't certain people really anger you when you see them? Don't they make you irate sometimes? And then, you know, people could get irate back. Why do you care if I wear a mask when I'm driving? I have to say I've worn a mask driving a couple times, not because I'm wearing the mask driving, but because I'm wearing the mask going to consecutive stores, and they're close enough, I just leave it on. I've done that once or twice, particularly with the gloves, because you're supposed to throw the gloves off. I know I do this for my wife. My wife feels strongly about it. I don't know. Well, I don't know what I would do if it wasn't her desire. Okay, rant number two.
How come more is not being said and done about term limits for the senators, for the congressmen? How come we're not bringing this up more? And I think WTIC and Utah should be promoting this. And we should, there's a website you can go to for term limits. Let's start promoting this more. Let's try to get this term limits. You don't need people in there for 30 years. You need to be turnover. So let's go, Todd. Let's do your part. I want to hear you bring up term limits more on your station.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up right now. And by the way, if you want to call and respond to any of these, feel free. I'm not a supporter of term limits, although I wouldn't mind them if they were long. But I don't want anything to be passed that takes power of ours and turns it over to the plunderers, turns it over to the state. And what you're doing, if you're asking our elected representatives who can't be trusted for a microscopic distance of free reign, if you're giving them the right to make that law, say they make a law I would approve of, which would be, say, 3 terms in the U.S. Senate and 6 terms in the House. So you 12 years as a congressman, 24 years as a senator. I could go for that, I guess. I don't like it. I wouldn't support it, but I wouldn't fight it. The idea, but the trouble is, if you pass that, then they can change it whenever they want. And their favorite way to pass things that are awful that we would never agree to is to, we're going to pass an income tax. It'll be, I forget what the original income tax was. 3%, 7%, maybe it was 7%. Anybody know? How do you get people used to the idea of an income tax? Well, you pass it into law and have it be too small for anyone to care about. It's just, 7%. Well, that's nothing. Sure, if the government needs some money, let's give them an income tax. Same thing will happen with tolls. That was Jolly Ned's plan with tolls. Remember the hustle during the campaign? Trucks only. Just get me elected. It'll only be trucks. Don't worry. And then what does he do? He didn't even bother passing it just for trucks. And then the next year, raising it, expanding it, which he would have done. No, he doesn't even wait that long. He flip-flops just because he won the election while saying he was going to implement tolls. And that's enough all by itself for him to say, already, slippery slope time. Let me mess with those people who were dumb enough to vote for me. Just like he's doing now with this lockdown thing. This lockdown thing is ridiculous. It's enough already. Okay, there's a couple of rant line calls. We'll play some more through this hour. I haven't figured out how to deal with this on a format basis, but I like some of these calls. They're really good. And if you don't hear your call right away, don't feel bad. I may get to it as we move further into the show or further down the road, days, because I'm sort of packaging certain ones together because I like the subject matter. Anyway, the rant line, if you want to leave one right now, you can. 860-751-4698. 751-4698. And call and talk. 860-522-9842 on WTIC. The other thing about term limits is that's the only way we get to express ourselves into the government. Now, I understand us electing people has not been very successful because of that famous de Tocqueville warning, where he said once people realize they could vote for all of the wealth of the society to be dumped into their pockets, then the idea of electoral politics is over. Well, that's a good point. You know, that's the Democrats' deal now, is they rig the elections by paying their key voting blocks. That's why the state of Connecticut is bankrupt to the tune of about $150 billion, because the Democrats have given away the money. They haven't bought anything except the loyalty of state worker unions. And they've bought the loyalty of urban voters. There's no underestimating the damage this has done to the country. And, of course, it's rigged the country in such a way that the media doesn't even discuss it. It's horrible. Anyway, that was a good rant line call. And I like the idea of rant line comments being ones that we can get reaction to as we discuss what's on the rant line, which is 860-751-4698. That's my problem with term limits, but I totally am with the I understand. I'm sympathetic to the argument that something needs to be done, but the main thing that should be done is we need to speak up more. What I was saying before, where is the emotion? People have just been everyone's in this stupor. Everyone puts up with Ned and his puffy, confusing language and his desire to anesthetize people with his mannerisms, his tone, his confusing, contradictory, amorphous language. Get mad over it. 860-522-9842. Peter in East Granby. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Todd. I heard on the radio this morning, unfortunately it wasn't your station but another station, that Ned has signed an executive order that the August primary and the November election will all be mailed in ballots, which I'm definitely afraid of because I've heard a lot of talk about fraud with that. And after the 3 years of Russian collusion, that never happened. What are they going to do if Trump wins the mail-in?
Well, that would be a delightful problem to have as opposed to a bad one, but yeah. But at least it's a better problem. But you're right. The idea of them having that kind of power is scary. And yeah. This is what I'm talking about with the Democrats. Now, tell me why in August we need to be concerned about going to vote when we've been going to the supermarket and to the box stores for 2 months of the plague. And the state opened, I thought, on Wednesday. So why do we care 3 months later about going to vote? It's a total scam.
I know. And it's not, I'm not as worried about the August one because that's a Democratic primary. I'm worried about the November one, which is the big dance. He's talking about that, too. It's like,
I know, but that's 6 months from now.
I know.
The only way we could be messing with caring about this virus and going to vote is if it's come back again because it misses us so much. Peter, thank you for the call, sir. 860-522-9842. It's such a scam. How can you be so patient with being scammed by the people you entrust with the power and the money that comes out of your pockets? All right, back to the rant line.
Todd, it's Mike from Torrington. This whole UConn thing goes right back to the email I sent a couple weeks ago about them not publishing or recognizing the young riders from across Connecticut, citing budget concerns. The ceremony was canceled due to COVID. The budget concerns canceled the English department at UConn from printing up and mailing out certificates to young riders from all across Connecticut that had been recognized by the English department at UConn. So I don't feel bad at all for the athletic department losing sports, scholarships, and money.
We were talking yesterday about UConn sports maybe facing big cuts because of the mismanagement of those sports, gross mismanagement. It's just like the rest of the state, gross mismanagement of sports. When you have dug yourself into a deep hole and then bad times come, in good times, in affluent times, in wealthy times, what they did at UConn and what they did with the state is allow it to be plundered. Nothing Nothing responsible done. Just wasting money using it to buy votes, rig elections. Just as they're still trying to do. They're trying to rig elections now with this, with this, these absentee ballots and the executive order. 860-522-9842. Here's the next one.
Hey, Todd, great listening to you. If UConn football is the problem, then they should can them. You know, number one, they're a Division III team in Division I clothing. Number two, they hire the same coach back after he left and got fired from another school.
Yeah, it's too hard to listen to. It's just not good enough phone quality. Maybe you were on speakerphone, which doesn't always work that well. Anyway, his point, though, the quick point at the beginning, hopefully you got to hear. That was the important part. And we can't listen to more because of the quality. But
hey, Todd, great listening to you. If UConn football is the problem, then they should can them. You know, number one.
That's a fair enough point, isn't it? If UConn football has lost all the money, why not shut down the football program? The sad part is that they're talking about shutting down a bunch of other sports because of all the money lost to football.
This is Mary calling from Bristol. Todd, I enjoy your program. And I just wanted to say that it's frustrating, the mixed messages that we're all hearing from the news media.
Like what?
Concerning safety precautions with this from this coronavirus.
Oh, okay.
And about the effectiveness of masks.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are still saying that wearing a mask is outside is not really effective. And
well, outside you don't need a mask. You just don't need a mask outside because you're out in the air. But I'm not sure what you mean about it not being effective. The purpose of the mask is to protect other people from you. So if you were not social distancing and standing right next to somebody and then you sneezed on them, I suppose even in the outdoor air you could infect them, and that the mask might help protect about that. But don't forget, there's some people out there who say masks are a bad idea.
Mask is outside is not really effective, and it's only so effective inside. The cloth masks, my stepmother made me one. And just frustrating, the mixed messages.
Oh, yeah. The messages are mixed. A lot of that, though, is because they don't know what they're talking about. They're learning as they go because it's a new virus.
Todd, great show. Finally, someone delving into the sacred cow UConn and UConn sports. Good grief. And what happens? The show is interrupted by, yes, Ned, the Cub idiot, with one of his briefings that are never brief enough. Great stuff, Todd. I hope you continue on with the UConn show. Very enlightening, but like most things in Connecticut, people will turn a deaf ear.
Oh, I don't like that negativity at the end, but good call. Don't be negative, please. 860-522-9842. The rant line number 751-4698. Bob in Hartford. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Todd. I'd just like to say the reason that things are the way they are is there's no accountability with the government at all. It's just like the state police committing all these crimes they commit. Obstruction of justice, drinking and driving. They never go after each other. They never ask for accountability. But they get a 5% raise in July.
Whose job is it to be the cat watching out for mice?
The governor. His state's attorney's office should be looking at all these
things. No, you can't trust any of them. They're all the government. The government is the enemy because the government is there for the pursuit of power. They're there for power. We have to watch over them. We're the only ones. If we don't do our jobs, this is all because, well, mostly because we don't do our jobs.
Exactly right. We have no accountability in any part of the government.
But we have no accountability, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think the answer, though, Bob, is for us to be energized, us to be paying attention, and us to vote them out when they do a horrible job, which they do routinely and get reelected for it.
Well, we vote the same people in because the unions control everything in the state, and they get in every time. That's all.
Yes, but who sat here while they created the unions and while they expanded the unions and while they did awful deals with the unions and when they did ridiculous giveaways? Now, granted, I will cut we the citizens, we the people, some slack for this, that we get lied to. We're getting lied to every day by the king of Coronacut, who is overseeing this shutdown, and he thinks he's figured out how to slither between the cracks of this and look like he's attentive and he cares about people. Because if you care about people, that's all it takes these days. People just want a little caring. You have to be sensitive. You have to show you have empathy. So sick of this empathy rap and everybody falling for the con that that represents. 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll take some calls on WTIC. It is WTIC. We are here in the afternoon every weekday, and it is a blast being here. It is. It is a blast. Rich in Watertown, hi.
Hi, Todd. Just want to comment on two things. One, this folly about distributing absentee ballots. I don't know what is happening, this power thing of from the governor down to the Secretary of State, then Ace Merrill. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting an AB. They're so easy to get an absentee ballot application. Go online, simply plug it in, you got one. Now they're going to be mailing them, an added cost. Why? What are they trying to do here? Then it's going to be the actual ballot. How many paper ballots are going to be out? I was in New Haven, and I used to watch how they would do ABs. They would bring them in by the carload. People would sit down and mark the ballot, who's going to win the election. This is what we're getting here. The second thing, we got so many experts on this virus, and I think I got to use Harry Truman's comment. What is an expert? A little squirt under pressure, and that's all we got here. All experts who are under pressure, not knowing where they're going, what they're doing. Thank you for the opportunity to say something, Todd.
Well, thank you, Rich. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. The governor went to New Haven, had a press conference kind of thing going on there. He wasn't the only one speaking, but he sure did meet up with a real live person, which I'm sure his staff got chewed out for. This is great. This woman is upset because of the utter disregard that the state government, and in particular, the correctional system, has shown for the well-being of prisoners in the system. And I want you to hear this little interaction, because it's a good insight into what compassionate politicians act like when they face a real voter who's not in love with them for all the resources they've diverted in their direction, but actually has a complaint.
As you know, ma'am, we are testing all the people at our correctional facilities.
People are still dying.
We have about
released some of those people, but you decided you didn't want to do that.
She's saying people are dying. He's saying we've done everything. She says, but people are still dying, and you're only releasing the ones. Her complaint is you're only releasing the prisoners who were due to be released anyway. You're not reaching in and trying to find a way to save lives. You're treating prisoners' lives like they don't matter.
Now, what I'd like to know is, why are those lives disposable that you don't even have a plan?
I think the safest thing we can do is only release them.
You usually pull from the media, and please tell the truth.
She said, please stop the spinning. No quotes for the media. Please tell the truth.
Indifferent to the lives of incarcerated people, and that's why you're allowing them to die?
I think just the opposite, ma'am. We are doing everything we can to keep those people safe, and that's what we're doing.
She is absolutely correct. She said, I have to judge you by your actions, not by your words. And the actions of the governor, first of all, the governor knows nothing about the prison system. Nothing. He knows nothing. I just know because that's what he's like. What does he care? As long as he's got a department head who can sell the thing to the public if need be. And so far, it hasn't needed to be sold. Whatever's going on in the prisons, they're so good at keeping it hidden that they can engage in behavior with regard to this virus, along with everything else, that's as irresponsible as they choose. Oh, let me get Mark in Windsor on here because he's upset about the police officer, the killing in Minneapolis. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you? I'm angry about how and why that cop murdered just so viciously and murdered that young man up in Minnesota. And what's even more depressing is the second cop stood there and watched him and never intervened. He never had the presence of mind to intervene on this defenseless person's behalf. That man is
Yeah, they seem never to do that, Mark. They don't ever intervene.
And that is a huge, huge shortfall in their academy, because to me, the instructors and the powers to be are not considering the possibility that you get people on a department that are bad cops, that are bad people. And there needs to be someone standing there that has common sense to say, hey, you just beat that man to death. That's not necessary. And you saw that with Laquan McDonald up in Chicago. The cop stepped
Yeah, somebody should have intervened. That's why I thought it was good that they just fired right off the bat. They whacked four of the cops.
Yeah.
And that, I'm glad that's the did. Right way to start, so that the community gets a signal that you care.
Yep. But what really hurts is that it's happening too often every year. Too often.
I agree. Thank you, Mark, for the call. I got to hold you right there.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.